Inside Chicago Government. ShyGov.com. Sooner or later, this has got to end.
Welcome to another in a series of interviews on Chicago government. I'm Dave Gloetz. In this episode, I was interviewed by the host of the Ben Jarofsky Show in late March to talk about recent Chicago City Council actions in the face of the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. Here's the interview.
Have you got your mail today yet, Dave?
No.
Well, when you get the mail, you'll probably have a postcard in it from President Trump.
Trump check?
The Trump check. No, I got a postcard from the president. President Trump's coronavirus guidelines for America. And the first item is, if you're old, die. No, just kidding. It doesn't say that.
I don't want a card. I want a check.
Yeah, well, the check's in the mail. The check will be coming soon. They got to figure when they can send the check closest to the election as possible, obviously.
I'm promoting a new meme. How's this? Trump change.
That's good.
That's real good.
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah, get it? Right. Trump change, Trump change.
We'll see if it's got legs.
Yeah, we'll see. By the way, Dave Gloetz for years did a podcast with me in my dining room and the train would go by. And now here it is in the coronavirus era. I'm doing a podcast from my house and the train just went by, Dave. I don't know if you heard it. It was probably felt like, old times.
It's making me feel nostalgic. Yeah.
So last night.
I want to commend you guys for soldiering on in this. We kid a lot, but it's a challenging time for a lot of people. And I appreciate, and I know all your listeners appreciate you guys continuing to do the work that you do.
Thank you for saying that. That's really nice of you. Yeah. And in all seriousness, a lot of praise and accolades for Dr. D here. This guy is set up. You have no idea, folks, what he has to work with every day. And he has set up a mini studio here. So a lot of credit, all the credit goes to him in terms of the technical end of things. All right. So last night I was talking to you, Dave, and I said, I don't know, should we do the city council thing in the age of coronavirus? And then you convinced me, a little entertainment, a little diversion could help us get through the madness of our times. That's sort of the setup for your analysis of what went down at the city council meeting. When was the city council meeting again?
There was supposed to be a full city council meeting on March 15th, but that was postponed till April 15th because of the pandemic. But the meeting that preceded it was on March 12th. There was a meeting of the council's Committee on Finance, which I attended. And unfortunately, it did have entertainment. I don't think it was planned that way, but that's what happened. Just to remind your listeners, if they didn't know, I report on local government at chigov.com, shygov.com, Inside Chicago Government. And that's my beat.
Yes, it is. And usually when Dave comes in the studio, this is what I was getting at. He gives me a little piece of paper. It looks like the fortune in a fortune cookie. And it has that identification and I read it. But of course, I'm in my attic overlooking the train and he's in his bunker naked. So I do not have a piece of paper.
I've made you dependent on the script there, I guess.
Yeah. I love a script. Take us through what went down on March 12th, our city council in action. We make fun of them all the time, but I miss them at this moment. Okay, Dave, I miss my beloved Chicago City Council.
Well, I don't think anyone should be worried that our public servants of the city of Chicago aren't working, even though our listeners either can't go to work or are somehow unable to work. The city of Chicago public servants are spending our listeners' tax dollars even as we speak. And in particular, the city's moving along a number of city-funded and taxpayer-subsidized real estate developments, which is something that they have a long history of doing. I'm going to talk about several of those projects that look like the city council was going to pass at the March 15th meeting, which, as I said, is now postponed to April 15th.
Yeah.
But the week before, which was March 12th, a meeting of the council's Committee on Finance showed that some aldermen were surprised by some of the things that the Lightfoot administration is looking to fund. And I've been thinking about the legislative dynamic that the pandemic has affected. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Originally, in this particular legislative cycle, only 6 days were supposed to pass between the Finance Committee meeting and the full council meeting. So if an alderman wanted to ask some serious questions of the administration staff after learning about something at a committee meeting, take time to absorb the answers and follow up. They didn't have time to do all that in, let's say, 6 days. But now there's almost a month that's going to pass between that finance committee. So maybe some, I don't know, statecraft will develop. It's an interesting thing to contemplate. Not too sure if it'll happen.
Yeah. So in other words, they have plenty of time to contemplate the legislation. Unlike, let's say, the parking meter deal from 2009 or 8, whenever that was. Remember they had like, what was it, 3 days from start to finish?
Yeah, that's pretty typical of, you know, the way stuff gets passed, I think. Some of the major thing gets passed in the city council.
So do you have any excerpts to play for us?
First up, we're going to talk about a fairly large multi-building development that's taking place in several wards on the south side. And it's called Casa Veracruz. And one of its main features is a whole bunch of affordable housing. And at this project, the administration proposed essentially a $15 million loan to the developer. And that's what it's looking for the council to approve. But in the finance committee meeting, it looked like it was going to hit a speed bump with the alderman of one of the affected wards, namely Ray Lopez of the 15th. And we're going to hear Lopez questioning a city staffer and a developer rep about the project. Let's listen.
My name is Barbara J. Taylor, and I am a project manager with the Department of Housing. This morning, I am presenting the Casa Veracruz development. It is the preservation and rehabilitation of 155 existing affordable units. The development is comprised of 14 different buildings, which make up 5 different developments. The development is located in 3 different communities, Pilsen, Little Village, and Back of the Yards, and it spans across 4 different wards, the 25th, 24th, 22nd, and 15th ward.
Alderman Lopez.
When this was discussed, was this brought to the local aldermen's attention that you were pursuing this type of arrangement?
Yes.
All of them?
Yes.
Really? Because I wasn't included in that conversation. And one of your main buildings is in the middle of my back-of-the-yards community. Why does your statement not accurately reflect what happened with regards to gaining support and discussing with local aldermen this matter?
Aldermen, there are 4 aldermen involved within our development. We reached out for support, which is a requirement of the tax credit application submitted to the city.
I'm one of the 4.
Yes.
You did not reach out to me. Do not sit here and tell me you reached out to all 4 aldermen when I know, damn well being one of them, you didn't ask me.
Lopez Raymond, correct? We have
Alderman Raymond Lopez. Yes,
yes,
ma'am.
Sir. We have a letter in the application with your signature on it from your office. You
was
said
that from,
you did not support it, but they did present that with their application.
Was that with regards to this matter?
In regards to Casa Veracruz, and it's in the application. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman.
Perhaps you didn't hear at the end, but he was going,
You made that. I was laughing so hard. He thought he had him. Oh, my God. I missed the city council. I just missed the city council. So much. That was priceless, lady. That was a moment, like a cross-examination moment. Ray Lopez. And God bless you, Ray Lopez. You're trying to hold them their feet to the fire for whatever reason. I don't know the specifics of this issue. You know, you're going to be a voice of opposition. So you got him on the ropes, right, Dave? It's like, are you aware that you're supposed to reach out to all the aldermen? Yes, I am aware. Have you reached out to all the aldermen? Yes, we did. Well, you didn't reach out to me. And then the lady's like, Lopez, Ray? Well, yeah. Well, here's the letter we sent. Habada.
In Alderman Lopez's defense, I have to point out that he might not yet have gotten used to Mayor Lori Lightfoot's executive order from last year, and that order forces city departments to, quote, cease each and every such practice, unquote, of deferring to an alderman's thumbs up or thumbs down on a project when that approval wasn't mandated by municipal law. But a lot of departments, including especially the Department of Planning, was typically deferring. You know, this is the so-called aldermanic prerogative that you like to rail against.
Yeah.
Aldermen were getting deferred to as a matter of practice. And Lopez might have been, you know, remembering that and expecting that, but that's not happening anymore, in his defense.
Okay, I love it when we bend over backwards to defend aldermen. First of all, just hearing the words automated prerogative brings back such great memories. And I wish we were back in normalcy, Dave, where I could go on to one of my favorite rants and ravings.
What's stopping you?
Nothing. I mean, why not? I mean, the world as we know it is coming to an end. We have a freaking lunatic in charge of our country at this most critical crisis of our lifetime. Dave and I are roughly the same age. Nothing like it remotely resembles anything we've been through. And we have this raving lunatic running the country. And we have, I don't know what to call Joe Biden.
Missing.
That's good enough. Supposedly the Democrat. Here's a good idea. We're the mainstream of the Democratic Party. Let's elect a guy who will go disappear and vanish as soon as a crisis happens. That's electability. Anyway, so to divert me from that sad spectacle, I embrace Alderman and Prerogative. Alderman of Prerogative, of course, is a fictitious notion invented by Lori Lightfoot with the assistance of some misguided lefties in the city of Chicago who thought they were doing a good deal for everybody when, in fact, they weren't. It's supposed to be a very serious problem that the city faces in that aldermen are given too much power when, as we just saw, aldermen have very little power at all.
Yep, he didn't support the project, but he did send the letter, which evidently he didn't remember.
Yeah.
So I've got some more stuff here. Perhaps listeners have heard Mayor Lightfoot talk about a plan of hers to use taxpayer dollars to what the administration says, quote, attract private capital, unquote, that would jumpstart commercial development on the south and west sides. I don't know. Have you guys talked about this project?
Yes, we've talked about this. Again, this is bringing back fond memories. Jeanette Taylor, Alderwoman Jeanette Taylor, and we've had conversations about this. When the world was more or less normal, Dave.
The project is called Invest Southwest.
Yes.
And until recently, pretty much all we knew is that, one, the planning department is leading the project, and two, we knew which specific South and West Side neighborhoods the city wants to focus on. Well, at the March 12th Finance Committee meeting, the administration revealed that it wants to pay a contractor, which it's already picked, to do marketing for a dozen what they call priority corridors. And the administration revealed that it wants to pay that contractor as a source of funding using 18 TIF districts. Are you with me so far?
I'm following you, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so do you want to give the quick definition of TIF for the uninitiated?
Well, I don't know if there's any uninitiated to listen to this show.
But it's your call.
You know what? I just want to say, just hearing the word TIF is making me feel so good. I was so upset. Again, we have a country being led by a lunatic.
So it brings you back to a feeling of normalcy to talk about tax increment financing in the face of this pandemic.
Yes, a TIF is a property tax surcharge that they slap on the bills of unwitting taxpayers who are as clueless as ever. And then they siphon that money into bank accounts largely controlled by the mayor, which the mayor is free to spend however he or she wants. That's the TIF program.
I love it. Great definition.
Yes, Dave, go on.
Going back to Invest Southwest, where the city's trying to jumpstart development on the south and west sides, what they've done is, as I said, they have identified a dozen priority corridors that they're going to focus attraction of capital. And like I said, they're going to hire this contractor to do marketing of each of the 12 corridors. And this is even before they've done any development. So that's interesting in and by itself, but we're not going to go there. Mm-hmm. But anyway, in the finance committee meeting, one of the corridors that drew heat is what they're calling the 79th Street Priority Corridor, because guess what? It runs along 79th Street.
Yeah.
And it's mostly, in terms of the city council, it's mostly in the 7th and 8th wards, which is just west of the lakefront. But the west end of the corridor touches the 5th ward, whose alderman is...
5th ward, Leslie Hairston.
That's correct.
Let's listen to audio from the finance committee meeting where a law department staffer sets this up for us.
I could do a good Bill Clinton. I love San Francisco. I love you all very much. You got some wine.
Oops, sorry. That guy gets around, doesn't he?
That guy was good.
There must be a bug in my equipment.
That was funny, though. He did a good Bill Clinton.
He did a good Clinton, man.
You know, he worked for him for 7 years.
That was almost as good as yours, Ben. Yeah. Let's hear yours.
I love Dave Glowatz. I listen to Mr. Bike all the time when I'm riding my bike.
Okay, well, maybe that guy's was better.
Hey, mine's as good as that guy's. God dang, man. Throw me under a bus.
So let's listen to that guy from the law department.
My name is Keith May. I'm an assistant corporation counsel in the law department. There was a draft of this ordinance that was available earlier. There is an error in that ordinance I wanted to point out regarding the 79th Street Stony Island Exchange Priority Corridor. The initial draft only indicated that funding would come from the 71st Stony Island Redevelopment Project area. It actually will also include funding from Avalon Park South Shore. So there will be two redevelopment project areas. Those funds will be proportioned and method determined by the commissioner of DPD or an authorized representative in proportion to the amount of the geographic area that carries over into the two TIF areas.
Just to decode this a little bit, this guy from the law department is saying that there was an initial version of the ordinance that the committee was looking at that showed only a particular TIF district called the 71st Stony Island would fund this marketing effort on 79th Street. And the law department guy corrected that and said the marketing of that corridor would be funded by an additional TIF district, namely Avalon Park South Shore. And that's in a different ward than the 71st Stony Island TIF district, which is mostly in the 5th Ward. Well, this set off Alderman Hairston. Let's listen.
The 79th Street corridor is not in the 5th Ward. There might be a corner that I have that is part of it, which is part of the Stony Island TIF. Yet the city over the past years has gone to my Stony Island TIF to take money to build projects in other wards. So I have been unable for the past 15 years to access the full amount of my TIF dollars because DPD has seen fit to use them in other wards. The 71st and Stony Island TIF has been really good to my surrounding wards, but I have projects in my ward that I want to have funded, which the Department of Planning and Development is aware of, and they want to tell me no, that I can't fund it in my ward, but yet it's good to fund projects in other wards, which is totally and completely unacceptable. While a portion of the 71st and Stony Island TIF touches that, I'm sure it is no more than 5%, if not 1%. So the fact that you added the language in there that says areas in a proportion to be determined by an authorized officer is gobbledygook. If you do it in a proportion, we don't know what proportion, which gives you the ability to make the decision and takes the ability away from me, right? It allows you to make a decision about something that my tax dollars are going for and use them in another ward. Do not insult my intelligence. Either the language goes in there in the percentage that is in the TIF, or this should be stricken. And you're going to change language to something that you think I can't read? I am totally and completely insulted. How much is in the Avalon Park TIF?
DPD determines the...
I need to know how much is in that Avalon Park TIF.
I'll have to defer to DPD.
Well, then defer to DPD.
We can get that to y'all.
No, I need that now. I need that now. You knew this was coming up down here. You should have brought it with you. It is no longer acceptable for you all to appear before this body with a nonchalant attitude as if it's just going to happen. And then you get to sit there and say, we'll get it to you later. And how many things that have come before this body and you said you'll get it to us later and we've never got it. It is unacceptable. So somebody better get me some answers right now. But you are not going to take money out of my ward to build things in other wards. You are just not going to do that when I have projects that my people want to see built. That is not going to happen.
So apparently, the proposed ordinance says that marketing of the 79th Street corridor would be funded, quote, proportionally, unquote, from two TIF districts, one of which is in her ward. That's the one she's railing about. And so what happened is that Hairston demanded and got, during a committee recess, a real-time revision by the law department to the proposed ordinance, which spelled out that only 5% of the funding for the marketing of this corridor would come from the TIF district that's in her ward. Mm-hmm. So there was this all, you know, this drama where the meeting was stopped and they went in the back room. It was literally a back room deal.
I have so much to say on this clip, by the way.
I thought you would.
I find this so reassuring to talk about city business. I've spent 30 years of my life studying the way the city works, and now I'm in the midst of this horrific crisis. And
it's a welcome break.
It's just such a welcome break, and it's just, it's like listening to how business gets run in my beloved city of Chicago is reassuring. Let me just say this. I could give an hour dissertation on this excerpt that you just played, Dave, because it says so much about the TIF program. I just want to start by praising Leslie Hairston, Alderwoman of the 5th Ward.
She does call herself Alderman.
She calls herself Alderman. I guess I should bow to her wishes on that. I'm trying to bow Sue Garza's wishes to say Alderwoman in the case of all women. But
yeah, you need a scorecard.
I'll just say this. She really knows TIFs. She's actually written a law review article on TIFs. And so I know that Leslie Hairston is one of the few aldermen in the city council who understands how the TIF program works. But I have to just politely disagree with her on one point. Money in the TIF slush funds are not her money. It's not, in the case of Second Ward Alderman Brian Hopkins when he did Lincoln Yards, his money. It's property tax dollars that all of us pay. No matter where the TIF district is, all of us pay more in property taxes, so that money gets put into these slush funds. The Fifth Ward's getting the raw end of the deal because they don't have as much TIF money as downtown. Brian Hopkins gets much more TIF money than Leslie Hairston. So to view the TIF program as her TIF program because it's on 79th Street and his TIF program because it's at North and Clybourne or North and Elston works against the South Side and the West Side. That's just one of the many scams in this program. This notion that individual TIF districts belong to individual aldermen or alderwomen or communities works to the disadvantage of the very people who are supposed to benefit the most from the TIF program.
I'll give you the flip side of that coin and I'll end with this. Perhaps the attitude or the perspective that Alderman Hairston has around this ownership is something that was promulgated by the Daley administration,
Richard
and Daley administration, and the Emanuel administration to compel aldermen to accept tax increment financing as a concept, because if they felt that it was like a slush fund that benefited them and that they had ownership, then the administrations could continue to advance tax increment financing.
Absolutely. And when people buy into that, you're buying into the notion, South Side of Chicago, that it's okay to have a smaller TIF slush fund for the South Side communities like Alderman Hairston's than the one that Brian Hopkins has on the North Side. Folks, it's a scam. And just talking about it, Dave, makes me feel good. Make it just make me feel reassured. All right, very good. That's Dave Goetz.
Listeners, we always welcome your questions and comments and suggestions for future interviews. You can get those to us via email, if you like, via comment at shigov.com, that's C-H-I-G-O-V.com, via Twitter at C-H-I-G-O-V-T. And if you'd like to connect with us on Facebook, go to facebook.com/insidegov, that's inside G-O-V. I'm Dave Gloetz. Thanks for listening.